Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Ambuja Cements Limited Q2 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjeev Kumar Singh from Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining the call. Without much delay, I will transfer the call to Mr. Deepak Balwani, Head of Investor Relations. Mr. Deepak, over to you.
Yeah, thank you, Sanjeev. Wishing you all a very happy and a prosperous Diwali. It is my pleasure to welcome you all to Ambuja's second quarter FY25 earnings call. Ambuja Cements Limited is one of India's leading cement companies and a member of the diversified Adani Group, the largest and the fastest-growing portfolio of diversified, sustainable businesses. Our financial results, investor presentation, and press release are now available on the company website and stock exchanges. Joining us on this call are Mr. Ajay Kapur, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Vinod Bahety, Chief Financial Officer. Now, let me invite Mr. Ajay Kapur to share his insightful perspective on the quarterly results. Over to you, Mr. Kapur.
Thank you, Deepak. Good afternoon to all of you. I extend a warm welcome to each of you for joining us in our quarter two and H1 FY25 earnings call of Adani Group's cement business. We continue to strengthen our position as a market leader in the cement industry. Adani Cement is becoming stronger over time with an intense commitment towards capacity expansion through both organic and inorganic routes, along with excellence in operational efficiency, ESG, and safety parameters. Adani Cement's current market share is about 15%, with an internal target of 20% by FY28. To begin with, I would like to share some of the high-level highlights before I dive into specifics. Ambuja enters into a binding agreement to acquire a 46.8% stake in Orient Cement Limited. The acquisition complements existing cement footprint, reducing overall lead distance and logistics costs, and improving market share in core markets. Post-successful completion of this transaction, our capacity will increase to 97.4 million tons, and the acquisition will be met through internal accruals. We continue to remain debt-free. Our first phase of 200 MW solar power project at Khavda in Gujarat has been charged. 70 million tons of new limestone reserves have been secured in quarter two FY25. 4 million tons clinkering and 6.4 million tons cement capacity is expected to commence by quarter four FY25, taking the total capacity to 100+ million tons per annum. The consolidated quarterly YOY performance: we achieved a revenue of 7,516 crores, driven by strong focus on our micro-market management strategy, expansion of our dealer networks, blended cements at 84%, increase in premium products as a percentage of trade sales by 300 basis points up to 26%. On the operational cost for the quarter, it was rupees 4,497 per ton, showing a decline of 4%. This is driven by a 10% decline in energy cost, owing to better fuel management and strong focus on green power. Kiln fuel cost reduced by 13% to rupees 1.59 per 1,000 kcal from rupees 1.82 last year. The transportation cost declined by 7% at rupees 1,282 per ton on account of footprint optimization. Secondary lead distance reduced by 7 km to 47 km. The direct dispatch to customers increased by 600 bps to 55%. With the improvements mentioned on the cost front, EBITDA stood at Rs. 1,111 crores at a margin of 14.8% and EBITDA per ton of 780 rupees. As on 30th September, the consolidated cash and cash equivalent stood at Rs. 10,135 crores. During H1, approximately Rs. 14,700 crores has been utilized, out of which 12,350 crores towards organic and inorganic growth, namely Tuticorin grinding unit, Penna acquisition, and ongoing capex programs. Besides, dividend outflow of Rs. 555 crores and the balance towards working capital, which we had higher receivables, higher inventory, lower payables, income tax payout, etc. The consolidated half-yearly YOY performance, the revenue stood at Rs. 15,828 crores, operational cost at Rs. 4,467 per ton, EBITDA stood at Rs. 2,391 crores at a margin of 15.1% and EBITDA per ton at Rs. 795. In the best interest of time, I will not discuss the standalone financial performance of the listed companies separately as they are available on the stock exchanges. Now I will share with you the progress we have made on our announced long-term strategic plan. As we plan to expand our cement capacity to 140 million tons by FY28, we are pacing well to achieve the stated target. This has also resulted into higher cash outgo, as informed above. With the acquisition of Orient Cement, our operating cement capacity will go up to 97 million tons post-completion of the transaction. We are on course to commission our 4 million ton clinker unit in Bhatapara in Chhattisgarh and the associated grinding units in Sankrail and Farakka in West Bengal, Sindri in Jharkhand by the end of this financial year. The grinding unit of Salai Banwa in Uttar Pradesh will be commissioned in quarter 1 of FY26 and brownfield expansion of Bhatinda grinding unit in Punjab and Marwar grinding unit in Rajasthan, Kalamboli unit expansion in Maharashtra, Dahej grinding unit expansion in Gujarat, Jodhpur Penna grinding unit and clinker unit, Krishna Patnam grinding unit to be commissioned by quarter 3 FY26. With commissioning of these projects, we shall be reaching cement capacity of 115 million tons by quarter 3 FY26. Further, clinker unit of 4 million ton of Maratha in Maharashtra and grinding unit at Vasaliganj in Bihar are also expected to be commissioned by the end of FY26, enabling us to reach 118 million tons capacity by end of next financial year. We have also identified 13 additional grinding unit projects for which land acquisition and statutory approvals are under progress, which shall enable us to reach 140 million tons by FY28. For the new facilities of 4 million ton clinker line at Bhatapara, 90% of the civil work is now complete and major equipment has been received at the site. Expected completion is quarter 4, FY25. For its corresponding grinding units in Sankrail and Farakka in Bengal, civil work of 88% and 97% respectively have been completed and major equipment has been received at site. Expected completion of these units is by quarter 4, FY25. For the new facility of 4 million ton clinker line at Maratha in Chandrapur, contract has been awarded on EPC vendor. 59% of major equipment ordering done by EPC partner. Project execution work started. Expected completion by quarter 3, FY26. These kiln lines will have 42 megawatt of waste heat recovery and provision for utilizing 30% alternate fuels. For the new facility of 3 million ton clinker line in Jodhpur of Penna, 70% civil work and 60% of major equipment ordering done. Expected completion by quarter 3 FY26. For new facilities of 2.4 million ton grinding unit at Salai Banwa, Uttar Pradesh, 26% civil work is now complete and delivery of major equipment commenced at site. Expected completion by quarter 1, FY26. Major equipment ordering for roller press at Bhatinda grinding unit, fly ash grinding unit and blending system at Kalamboli and grinding unit at Dahej has been completed and all three projects are under execution. Contract awarded for grinding unit at Marwar Mundwa and Vasaliganj to EPC vendor and both the projects are now under execution. Now I will share some of the key initiatives being undertaken for becoming a cost leader in the cement sector. Securing major raw materials at cost competitive prices and efficiency and productivity improvement capex will further help in optimizing by 8 to 10%. First, let me discuss the steps we have taken to lower our energy cost. Our waste heat recovery capacity at the time of takeover was 40 megawatts, which we are now targeting to increase to 218 megawatts by March 25. Currently, the WHS capacity is 196 megawatts. We have earlier announced our investments in 1,000 megawatt of RE, which is expected to get commissioned by FY26 and would ensure that 60% of our power requirements will be green power. This would help in reducing the power cost by rupees 90 per ton by FY28. First phase of 200 megawatt at Khavda in Gujarat have been charged. Over the next two quarters, this will reach full capacity. As previously explained, to meet our requirements, we aim to have captive coal supplies. As a result, we are bidding for coal mines in the auctions being conducted by the government. A higher share of coal from our captive mines and opportunity to buy imported petcoke will further lower our own fuel costs. Driven by better fuel management and structural initiatives undertaken, our power and fuel costs have decreased by 10% to rupees 1,276 per ton in quarter 2 FY25. From rupees 1,425 per ton in quarter 2 FY24. These initiatives include an increase in the share of AFR and green power. The share of AFR in fuel mix has improved to 9.5% from 7%. The share of green power in fuel mix has increased to 15.6% from 15.6% to 18.2%. The second cost item is freight and forwarding. There are three focus areas for cost reduction here. Number one, reduction in lead distance, warehouse footprint optimization, and railroad mix optimization. We are targeting to reduce the average primary road lead distance by about 100 kilometers. Primary lead distance in the current quarter was 271 versus 272, and secondary lead distance at 47 versus 54. This has been done with improvement in direct road dispatch by 600. Basis points. To further optimize our cost in logistics, we have ordered 11 GPWIS rakes, of which all 11 have been delivered and running in approved circuits. These rakes will enable cost-efficient clinker movement from the mother plants. In addition to these, we have also ordered 26 DCFC rakes for safe and cost-efficient transportation of fly ash from thermal power plants to our facilities. Of these 26 DCFC rakes, three rakes have been delivered and another eight are expected to be delivered by March 25. Because of these initiatives, our logistics costs have been reduced by 7% to rupees 1,282 in quarter 2 FY25 from rupees 1,377 in the same quarter last year. To secure our limestone supplies in quarter 2 FY25, we have won bids for another two new mines having reserves of 70 million tons, one in Madhya Pradesh and one in Maharashtra. On ESG, we are committed to net zero by 2050. Ambuja and ACC are the only two cement companies in India who are undergoing net zero target validation by SBTi. Ambuja is a leader in water stewardship and co-processing of plastic waste. Ambuja and ACC put together used more than 5 million tons of waste-derived resources in quarter 2 FY25, embracing circular economy. The two companies created societal values for more than 4.7 million people by contributing to fields like healthcare, education, employment, and sustainable livelihoods. The company won many awards and accolades for its responsible and sustainable business practices. On global front, Ambuja has been the world's first cement company to join the Alliance for Industry Decarbonation, an initiative of International Renewable Energy Association, became a signatory to Transitioning Industrial Cluster Initiative of World Economic Forum, and became a member of United Nations Global Compact. Finally, looking at the industry outlook, I feel strong infrastructure demand and ongoing needs from the housing and commercial sectors are anticipated to boost cement demand in H2 FY25. The introduction of PMAY Urban Housing 2 with an allocation of 11 lakh crores, along with government's continued focus on infrastructure development as the key to economic growth, augurs well for cement sector. Strategic investments in road, railways, along with urban and commercial amenities is poised to drive robust growth. We expect demand during FY 2025 to grow in the range of 4 to 5%. India's per capita cement consumption, currently at 275 kg, is still having a lot of headroom for a growth, and I believe over the next 10 years can reach a billion ton cement market. In conclusion, as I mentioned earlier on multiple occasions, Adani Cement will benefit from accelerated growth, lower costs and group synergies, all of which will contribute to lead the market and achieve sustainable performance in the near future. The pace of CAPEX has increased, which will help to achieve targeted growth ahead of time. With this, I now hand over to our CFO, Mr. Vinod Behety.
Yeah. Thank you, Ajay ji. Good afternoon, friends. Season's greetings and festival's greetings as well. Good to connect with you all again at a very important junction in our journey of growth. When Ambuja Consol is expected to hit 100 million metric tons very soon, and by end of FY26, we should be reaching 118 million metric tons, very close to our target of 140 million tons, which is ahead of our own target curve. During last 12 months, friends, we have successfully completed three important acquisitions, Sanghi, Penna, and recently announced Orient, apart from Asian and the grinding unit of Tuticorin. I will share more updates on the integration, which has gone very well. Friends, you have often heard from us about our drive on these few major areas with growth, cost, and ESG. Since September 22, when we took control, we have been constantly achieving new milestones across the three important focus areas with growth, cost, and ESG. Cement business has grew almost 50% in 2 years, largely driven by the inorganic growth, while organic is also going very, very well. And you have heard Ajay ji in terms of the progresses made across the various projects, which will add capacities in months to come. On the cost efficiency, in December 23, we laid out our clearly defined roadmap in terms of cost leadership to improve the margin, and we are well on this track. A good level of investment has been made for this cost optimization, which will start yielding us the results in coming quarters, whether it is green power, sea logistics, WHRS, AFR, operational efficiencies, amongst others. As you already highlighted, 2200 megawatt of our 1000 megawatt plan that has already been lighted up and will start getting the green power in November itself. I'm very glad to highlight one important initiative which we have been working on for last 2 years, but now getting more prominence, is digitization. From manufacturing to logistics and sales, we are putting a comprehensive technology platform which is expected to bring commendable difference the way we are operating in the business, and it will help further to bring improvement in productivity and efficiency. On the governance part, friends, again, happy to share that we have we had appointed Grant Thornton to do a detailed independent review of the RPTs and the entire framework around it. The report has been shared, very satisfactory report which has been shared with the statutory auditors, the audit committee and the board. And it only reinforces the systems and processes which we have placed and we have been highlighting to you from time to time. In addition, if you remember, in March quarter, we had also used Proxy Advisory Services, IIAS, for the assessment of the governance area framework. And I'm glad to highlight that we had scored a good in the overall say band from them, which is a 60 and above score. And this is what, for example, many of the leading corporates of India share this kind of say scores. Ambuja has scored in that. We also won Golden Peacock Award from the Institute of Directors, a prestigious award in the field of ESG. We are the only cement company to have won this. So this half year, very importantly, if you see, look at our balance sheet, you will see that we have done the purchase price allocation, PPA, for the acquired asset, which is Sanghi and Asian and Tuticorin. Earlier in March, we had done on the provisional basis, but now this September, we have done finalized the PPA. And more importantly, also for Penna, we have done provisional one, which will get finalized for Q3. So I will answer specific questions around it, but this is like an important half year from that perspective. Therefore, balance sheet, some of the numbers are not like-to-like comparable. However, on these two major factors of balance sheet, which is cash and cash equivalent and net worth, on cash and cash equivalent, I began the half year. 1st of April, I was holding 16,000 crores of cash and cash equivalent. Then in April, the warrant program gave another 8,300 odd crores. And then the operating cash flows, net of taxes, were close to 60,000 odd crores. With this, gross amount was 27,400 crores. And in terms of utilization, capex is almost 5,000 crores. The investment, primarily in terms of Penna, is 7,800 crores. Dividend outgo was around 560 odd crores. And then the changes in the NWC, net working capital, close to 4,000 odd crores. Therefore, with all this inflow and outflow, if I look at the net figure, as of now, the cash and cash equivalent is closer to 10,135 crores in Ambuja Consol. On the net worth also, I'm glad to highlight that we began, beginning of April 24, we were at 50,843 crores and I'm closing the half year at 59,916 crores, which is a jump of almost 9,073 crores in terms of net worth. Needless to highlight, Ambuja remains debt-free and we are in the highest bracket of all the ratings in terms of AAA. Further in the net worth, some of the analysts have been asking, so tangible net worth is closer to 43,000 crores, which means all my intangibles, goodwill, if I remove, the net worth stands to 43,000 CR, which is almost 73% of my overall net worth. So tangible net worth is 73%. And this tangible net worth, in simplified manner, it is represented by cash and cash equivalent of almost 10,135 crores, PPE of almost 29,000 crores, and NWC of close to 4,000 crores. So on net worth and cash equivalent, I preempted the answer question. And with this, I would pass on the call again back to the coordinators, Mr. Sanjeev. Sanjeev, over to you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rahul Gupta from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my question. I have a couple of questions. First, on a console basis, volumes grew by around 9% year on year, and this is on back of industry struggling at around 1-2%. So can you give more color what's happening on this one growth, such high growth? Similarly, on the pricing side, I understand a strong pricing was also a function of you expansion of premium product. But if I look at prices per bag, that has also not fallen a lot from 249 to 247. So any additional color on this front would be very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, Rahul, good question. Our volume growth is driven both by our current capacities and also the acquired capacities. As you know, we've been ramping up. Those capacities are helping us to fill up the voids which are there because we didn't have presence in some markets. Like, for example, Sanghi itself, if you take an example, last year versus this year, there's a tremendous increase. Some volume growth has also happened in B2B segment, where, again, we were not having capacities, so they have been used to expand. And therefore, you've seen on a, because of premium products and also because of a very structured marketing, we've been, YOY the drop is substantial. I mean, you can see that. Quarter on quarter, it's not so substantial.
Yeah, so just to understand this, you would have substantially gained market share on volumes during the quarter. So anything different that you are doing, or was industry not that bad? How should we read this 9% year-on-year growth?
So Rahul, this also has, this is, I think, the volume of CLC. This also includes clinker sales, which happens from Ambuja to its subsidiaries and otherwise. But even if you remove the clinker sales, I think the volume is still a healthy 7%.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned, in this is also a function of the acquisition of new assets that we have done. Some of them were not working in the previous period or working at a lower utilization. And with Ambuja ICC brands, we've been able to increase it.
Okay. And when can we get numbers for Penna? Penna is not included in this quarter, right?
Part of it is. For the number of very, very small quantity of Penna.
Almost 45 days of operations of Penna, Rahul, is part of this quarter and half year.
So can you give us numbers around that? What would be volumes? What kind of EBITDA that you have got from Penna? Because that will not be in the base, right?
That will not be in the base. We can offline give it to you. We can connect and give it to you.
But broadly, like in terms of volume, from a cement perspective, Penna has given almost 4.5 lakhs. But more importantly, on the clinker, Penna has helping us a lot, and we are seeing a capacity of almost 70% utilization for Penna in 45 days, and which is also helping us to meet some of the requirements of our southern plants from clinker perspective. Ajay, you already highlighted that our sales includes both cement plus clinker,
yeah.
Right? So on Penna, as part of our integration, has went extremely very well. And within like a month or 2 months, we were able to operate at almost 70-75%. During our acquisition, we had given targets to hit 80-85% in 6 years' time. But I see that we will be able to achieve much before that.
Yeah. Cement volume for Penna would be in the range of 1 to 1.5 lakhs.
Sorry, so earlier, what was this 450,000?
That was with clinker, you think?
That's including clinker.
Yeah.
And excluding clinker, it would be around 150.
Around one lakh odd.
Okay, so just a suggestion. I'm sure other participants would have similar questions. If you can help us more details around what kind of numbers were consolidated from Penna during the quarter, that would be very helpful. Thank you. Otherwise.
Sure. Thank you.
So we move to the next question, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naveen Sahadev from ICICI Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, and thank you for the question. Also, congratulations on decent set of numbers. So I have two questions. First is, I just wanted to get a better sense of now the cash that we have, which is already mentioned, of course, at 10,000 odd. But from a Penna perspective, also that the cash which is lined up for Orient, assuming the open offer gets subscribed fully. So in that context, what kind of appetite do we still have from an acquisition perspective is what would request some color on. Are we open to doing further similar size of Orient kind of an acquisition, or here on we could be looking at more smaller side of acquisition? How should one look at it?
Naveen, very good question. First of all, you'll appreciate both are very strategic acquisitions, and they are helping us both in, as I mentioned in my opening, improving cost efficiencies, but also improving volume, because these are two big drivers of value. Now, I think we are currently focused in completing Penna. It's a very good asset, multiple tasks ahead of us, and Orient. So I think our hands are quite full right now with these two. Having said that, I also mentioned in my opening that we are building three kilns as part of our expansion, two which we had already started, and one is part of the Penna. So about 11 million tons of clinker and 22 million tons of cement is already underway. So I think that with 10 million of Penna, 8.5 million of Orient, 18.5, and add another 20. So I think we're already having a substantially low-cost new expansions happening, and I laid out the roadmap right up to 118 million. 118 minus 140 leaves only 22. So I think that also, as I mentioned, we have plan in place. With all these consolidations, our balance sheet and also the strength of annual cash generation goes up. In spite of all this, at the group level, we remain healthy, cash positive. And I think generally we don't comment on future, so I think I'll leave it at that. Maybe that's for some other day, some other time.
Naveen, in terms of, in my opening remarks, I said net worth of almost 60,000 crores and debt-free leaves enough opportunity for expansions on both organic and inorganic. So this, I will just rest myself here, but you can understand the strength the balance sheet has.
Okay, helpful. Second question, I'll put it on Penna. If you can just walk a little bit further in detail here, because you gave volumes, which is around 100 KT for cement, but you also said it was supporting significantly in terms of clinker to some of the southern plants. So from an incremental perspective, what kind of volume, first of all, can we expect from Penna? Because that I'm assuming would be fairly stabilized as of now, or does it continue to support more clinker to other units? So just wanted to understand the actual cement contribution that one can expect from Penna, and also what is the cash now that is yet to be paid? Because your presentation says about 7,800 odd is the amount allocated. The deal, as we understand, was 10,400 crores. So the balance amount, how should be that looked at then? Thanks.
Yeah, Naveen, so what I'll do is I'll ask Vinod to address the cash part, but let me first address your question on Penna. We're very happy with the Penna ramping up. In fact, our clinker, all the kilns have operating at near 85-90% utilization levels. And we are also doing some, small adjustments because the plants were not running earlier. But we are very happy that already they are producing almost at 80-85%. And hopefully by the time we close this year, we'll be hitting 95%. And obviously that clinker is helping some of our grinding units in South. And that will play out. Parallelly, the demand and the sales teams are working. So I'm confident in the next quarter when I come in front of you, the sales of Penna would also be quite healthy. And it's going in the right direction. I think we are more or less on track as far as sales plan is concerned. But for the right reasons, I cannot comment on what's happening this quarter, which I can only comment when I meet you for the results for the next quarter. Vinod, could you just throw some light on the cash?
Yeah. So, Naveen, on the cash, the capex, if you remember during the announcement also, we said there are under construction assets. Krishnapatnam grinding unit, which is increasing from 2 to 4 million tons, and also the ongoing capex at the Jodhpur, the Marwad project of Penna. Both of them are progressing very, very well, and the remaining outgo will happen with part of the progressive milestones to be achieved. That is how it is planned, and which is very much part of the overall say transaction. So, your observation is right.
Yeah, to summarize, by end of 26, this entire 10,400 crore would have got consumed. We have paid about 7,800.
Now, absolutely right. So as I said, as per the current plan, the milestones are laid out. Now, if it is 26 or if it is little 3 months or 4 months here and there, but the progressive payments will be made once the seller achieves the targets.
Understood. Helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raashi Chopra from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I want to just come back to the volume question. If you were to exclude the acquisitions, the volumes on the acquisition on a year-on-year basis, what is the growth or what is the organic volume, this 4.14-4.2 million?
We would still be around 5.5%, Raashi.
Just pure, plain organic component?
Yeah.
Okay. On a, would you be able to-
Very, very, very difficult for us in future also to, you know, break this up, because as you know, we use ACC and Ambuja two brands largely. And whatever we buy, we try and sell in these two brands, because these are premium brands. It also help us in improving our market position. You already seen in the pricing, you know, when we start selling in these brands, we do premium pricing, it gives us that extra leverage. So I think as far as we are concerned, we'll continue to report the numbers the way we are. Of course, if needed, we can certainly deep dive with you guys on more details. But I think, we will continue to, because we'll keep buying and we'll also be building our own new capacity, right?
Right.
So it's difficult to then differentiate. And Penna, in any case, is a subsidiary of Ambuja, so it will anyway get subsumed, 100% in Ambuja consolidated.
Right. Okay, thank you. Also on the pricing front, after the quarter, how have prices done?
Beg your pardon?
How is spot pricing versus the quarter cement?
So let me comment more on, you know, the scenario on demand. I think demand is now opening up, with the rains behind us, elections behind us. Diwali, hopefully brings a lot of goodwill and good luck. So I think demand has started opening up now, in short. And I think, in our guidance, we have said that we're expecting, for the full year, FY 2025, 4%-5% growth. You already know first half, the growth has been tepid. So obviously we are looking at a growth, in the range of 8%-9%, going forward, and thereby yearly average of around 4%-5%. The early offshoots of demand we are already seeing. The pre-Diwali demand has been good, and hopefully, this continues post-Diwali as well. And I see no reason, because the 1 lakh crore program on infrastructure, all the other initiatives the government is driving, there is a stable policy regime. And I think that, because of elections and also heavy rains got disturbed in the first two quarters, I don't see any reason why it should not really bring that the spirit which we are seeing earlier also, except for these two quarters, which are an aberration.
So have you seen prices move up, like, starting to move up?
Pricing is a very tricky question. I think demand is good, things then settle down. And I don't want to get into this discussion, you know, for various reasons.
Sure, no problem. Just one last question. On the cost reduction 500 target that you had, how much more is remaining from here on?
A lot more. A lot more. We are on track. Again, I laid out all the KPIs. See, end of the day, 500 or 450 is a result of certain inputs. The initiative multiplied by the saving per initiative. I have laid out, and every time when I come before you guys, I clearly lay out, what is the progress. So I very clearly detailed out, on coal mining. I laid out on, green power. I laid out on waste heat recovery, general efficiency programs, acquisition of new assets and optimizing it further, increasing capacity utilization, increasing productivity, you know, doing more direct dispatch, improving our warehouse footprint, going for our own rakes, in future, going for more ships for the Sanghi fleet. When you add all this together, the whole number of 450-500 comes in play. We've already reduced a cost almost 250, which was, of course, slightly higher, I think, when we acquired the businesses. But I believe we are very well on track, and every quarter, every year, you will see this journey going towards that end state objective to emerge one of the lowest cost cement producers in the business.
So Raashi, also, like in my opening remarks, I highlighted that, somewhere like in December 2023, we had come up with this whole program of cost, and it is just like, almost about a year from there. And March 2028 is what, for example, we had put our aspirations to achieve those numbers. So we are very well on that journey. And with every progressive, like our investments have been made substantial. And the results will start coming in, as I said, from coming quarter itself, from say December, when we'll start getting green power to the sea logistics, for example. We are placing orders for the vessels, to WHRS, which again investments have been made, and so on and so forth. So I think you will see it is not going to be back-ended. It will be like progressive with moving quarters.
No, that's fine. Thank you for the detail. I think just to be more clear, what I'm trying to ask is that how much of that 500 has already happened? Is it 100? Is it 150? Or we still have like the entire 500 to go?
I would say 25% has been achieved, 25 to 30%. But this is again, as of now our assessment. But yeah, safe to assume say 150 odd rupees has been achieved.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address the questions from all the participants, please limit your questions to one per participant. I repeat, please limit your questions to one per participant. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Jain from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Sir, my question is again, you know, pertaining to volumes. I know you have answered it. Just wanted to ask, it also includes the benefit of My Home this quarter, right?
Yes. Tuticorin is yes. But you understand Tuticorin is only a grinding unit, right? It needs my clinker.
Right.
So it's basically, yeah, I think it includes that also. Whatever we are paying up, whatever and wherever we are investing capital, we have to make sure that the capital at charge is delivering its returns. And you can see in our growth that our growth strategy is clearly in line with our stated objectives.
So, sir, just to clarify, so you said Penna did 450,000, out of which 100,000 was cement, balance was clinker. Safe to assume large part of that clinker would have gone to Tuticorin.
No, there is Penna clinker also goes to our own grinding units, which are there in south. We would have done an equal amount of sale from Tuticorin also, just to answer that question. About a lakh ton from Tuticorin as well.
Got it, sir. That helps. So okay. Secondly, you know, in terms of the pricing, so while, you know, I can see YOY pricing is down and you alluded to that, means most of your peers this quarter have reported fairly weak pricing sequentially as well. Whereas, you know, our pricing has been super resilient sequentially. So is it like a mixed impact? Have we sold more in specific regions or what has gone behind that? And yeah, if you can just help to understand that as well.
I think a couple of things. Number one, OPC sales slightly higher. OPC yields higher price per ton. So that is evident. Number two, as I mentioned, 6% improvement in our premium products across the brands. And number three, mix, you rightly mentioned. So I think we add all three together, we've been able to, you know, do a little better on price. But like, as I said, year on year, it's still quite a harsh, you know, number because it's such a strong, 9%, 10% decline. All the work you do on cost, then of course, you know, somehow gets, you need to do a lot more.
Right. So lastly, you know, just one question on capacity expansion. So, you know, last, say, 2-3 quarters, we have done a phenomenal job in terms of the inorganic growth that we have achieved. But our, you know, end capacity target has, you know, largely remained unchanged. You know, while we have spoken about building a lot more capability in terms of limestone acquisition, you know, and various other project initiatives. So should we, you know, think that, you know, post-fiscal 28, we will remain in an accelerated expansion phase, even let's say from 28 to 31, or, you know, what kind of number should we think? Because, you know, while we are adding capability, we are also acquiring a lot. So just want to understand, you know, how capacity could look, let's say, slightly away from 28 as well.
So Ashish, you know, we have been very consistent in our message of doubling our capacity from 67.5 million in September 22. That's the day when we had bought these companies and our chairman had given this, you know, in his first speech post acquisition that we will double by 28. we remain committed to that target. Should there be a need to revise it in near future, still 28 is a little far away, we'll certainly come back to you. As of now, we are fully committed to make sure that number one, we deliver on our promise on cost. Number two, we deliver a promise on growth. And number three, we keep highest governance on ESG. And number four, as of now, we are debt-free and we hope to remain debt-free as part of our expansion. These are the four stated objectives. We remain steadfast on that. Whenever a good opportunity for acquisition has come, we have taken it. I guess that from the past track, you can more or less project how we have acted and how we have reacted to the changing contours. Yeah?
Right. Got it, sir. Thank you so much and best of luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Ravi from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good afternoon. Congrats on good numbers. If you could mention this NSR, despite higher share of non-trade Q&Q, you know, our NSR is positive while the industry-wide we have seen 3% realization dip. And also in your CAPEX, there is no mention on the Mundra project. So on a CAPEX slide, so is there any delay? And also if you could discuss on Sanghi plans, you know, we are seeing no CAPEX progress and even volume ramp-up seems to be, you know, not as was earlier in, when it was acquired, the plan was that the ramp-up would happen fast. So if you would share some detail on these, that would be great. Thank you.
So let me address your concern on CAPEX. First, let me address your concern on price. As I mentioned, we have had substantial decline YOY. Quarter on quarter, our premium product percentages have gone up. Number two, I mentioned we moved some OPC sales in bulk in OPC. The prices are better there. And number three, also the mix. So I think that's the reason on the quarter on quarter. On your question on Sanghi, we had a very severe monsoon and, impact of that was very severe in Mundra area. In fact, almost for 2 weeks, the plant was flooded. Post that, what we have done is we have two kilns there. One kiln is fully refurbished, restarted, and now it is running the new kiln, the line 2 kiln, is now fully running at peak capacity. The line 1 kiln is now under maintenance and this will undergo the entire refurbishment. This was part of our planned strategy. And I believe in quarter 3 and quarter 4, we should start seeing Sanghi clinker production coming at almost near full production. And with that, we'll translate into cement as well. For Sanghi, we also had to do some work on the channel. So we have finished that work. We are now starting our marine expansion plan there. So that will also be part of this strategy. Mundra, we stay on track. And I think we should be commissioning this project somewhere in 26-27. Again, phase one for grinding unit has already started. Also, the clinker line we are expecting somewhere in 26-27.
And the Sanghi, what is the end plan? 15 million ton which you are targeting. When would that be taken up?
So Sanghi second kiln will announce in due course. We are, as I speak to you, we are in the process of getting environmental approvals. We are in the process of also getting the jetty expansion. And we are also in the process of placing orders for ships which are needed to transfer across the coast. We are also building, fortifying our position across the west-south coast with grinding units and our bulk cement terminals. And at some stage, Sanghi will stop and Penna will take over through its BCTs from Krishnapatnam onwards right up to Cochin, Mangalore. So I think that whole strategy piece is being worked out. At some stage in future, you will hear from us in a much more detailed, investor deck as well. But give us some time, we'll certainly be sharing with you.
Just to highlight the MSA volumes is wrongly mentioned in the Q2 PPT. I think that the Q1 number is just what is got printed again. So if you could share that MSA volumes.
Okay. Thanks for bringing it on. Our Deepak will address that.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Inderjeet Agarwal from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Most of my questions are answered. I just have one question on the cash flow. There's a sharp increase in other current assets and other current liabilities, if you can, or cash outflow because of these two items. If you can please highlight what cost asset items led to this increase.
No, so Indrajit, in my opening remarks again, when I highlighted, so there is a overall say utilization of closer to say 4,100 CR, which is part of the net working capital. And in the net working capital, there are various assets, right from inventory to receivables. Ajayji mentioned about increasing trend of the OPC sales. And typically, as you know, that this leads to little increase in the receivables. Then what we have also done is piled up a good level of inventory for coal, given that the prices of the pet coke has been substantially lower, and then we actually have used the opportunity. As we speak, I'm holding almost 65 to 70 days of inventory of coal, and which will give me the benefit in time to come. So we have been opportunistic in terms of this A, the trend of sales, and B, in terms of building up the inventory. So primarily, these are the two factors which we'll see increase in the current assets, which would have gone up. And then on top of it, as I said, some of the factors are not apple to apple comparison because of the overall purchase price allocation of Sanghi, Tuticorin and Asian, which has been finalized this quarter, and also provisional numbers of Penna, which has got into the balance sheet. More specifically, I can offline connect separately, but these are like a few points you should look into it, and then I can address separately.
Sure, sir. I'll connect with you separately because the numbers I'm looking at are in the cash flow, console cash flow, other assets, cash outflow of 2,100. And other liabilities of 800. And sir, if the
but broadly in line with what I told initially, like when I said that opening of 16,000 crores to closing of 10,135 crores, I broadly highlighted the major inflows and the major outflows, leaving it to the net cash of 10,135 crores in the overall console levels. Sorry, I interjected in between.
Sure. No, that's helpful. Thank you. Second, while our realizations have been largely flat quarter over quarter, if you can give us some broad regional trends for the quarter gone by itself, like where do you think that prices have declined the most and where you have had like more resilient prices?
I think that we can do more offline. It's too much of a, you know, micro detailing at this call.
Yeah.
Sure. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prateek Kumar from Jefferies India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. My first question is on, we have this notes to account given in results. It says around 130 crore incentives at West Bengal unit. Is this a one-off which is benefiting also the revenues, or is this like some incentive we will continue to accrue like in future period, or how should we understand this?
Yeah, so I think this is more business as usual because as part of our various incentives we make in states, there are certain accruals, and this we got a very good case in Supreme Court, got an order in our favor, and now it's for us to encash it through the state, and we're working on that. So we have a very strong case, and therefore this is more of business income, which has been booked now, normal course of business.
But ideally, we should adjust this in revenues to arrive at a realization, right? Because this was not there in last quarter. Would that be right?
So, Prateek, you know, how, for example, like I would look at it in a normal course of business. So that is how we would calculate. But it all depends on how you calculate. But as you highlighted, this is like very much part of the incentives which we will be getting from the West Bengal government, and which is very much part of the business income, operating income.
Okay, and what is the full year incentives we are expected to get this year and maybe next year, including this 138 crores?
So I am expecting 138 plus another, I am expecting around closer to 80 odd crores for the another project. let us say together is closer to 220 odd crores, which I should be getting from this for this plants in West Bengal from the government. By the way, we have already received 45 odd crores in the past.
No, sir, I was asking just cumulatively overall for the company, how much we are looking to get in FY25 and as a run rate basis?
Quarterly, my incentives ballpark is around 250 odd crores. And therefore, like if I extrapolate, so for a year, we're closer to around, I would say 600 to 650 odd crores is my incentives, which gets booked in a year.
Okay, six out of 650, we have accrued 138 crores. Specifically, we have mentioned, that's why we have given a note around it.
That is a specific project. Therefore, since there was a background to the this particular item with respect to one of the Supreme Court cases, therefore this came into the notes from the auditors.
Okay. My other question is regarding our Mundra limestone grinding plant. We have taken that out from our capacity schedule. The timeline for that has like sort of pushed out to later years, or how did you think that?
Which plant you're talking of, Mundra?
There was this coal to PVC project for which we gave some advances for that project.
It's very much in the plan, as I mentioned. It is featuring in 2027, we should be commissioning that.
Okay, and last question, organic capex this year, what is the task with organic capex?
I think we have already done close to 3,500 odd crores for the first half. Well on track. Maybe there's small 10-20% slippage here and there. Some projects are 100%, some projects are sometimes because of permit, sometimes because of land, but I think by and large we are trading quite well.
Okay, so what is the capex number which we should expect for full year
FY25? So, Pratik, our target when we started the year is closer to, say, 7,000 odd crores. And while we have crossed 50% milestone, another 3,500 CR is what we are expecting to end with the full financial year. So, closer to 7,000-8,000 CR is what we are expecting for the full year.
Sure, sir. Thank you. These are my questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shravan Shah from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you and congratulations on good set of numbers. Sir, first, is it possible to share the MSA volume for second quarter?
So our total MSA volume would be around 3.7 million.
Okay, got it. And second, I just wanted to understand both in terms of the green share and whatever the expansions that we have. What I see is green share, last time we said that by FY25 we will be looking at close to 31%, but now we are saying a 20-odd percent, so currently 18.2%. And for all the expansions, if I see many projects are getting delayed by one quarter. So, any specific reason?
See, as I mentioned earlier, there was heavy rains in, this I mentioned more for Sanghi plant. We had a very heavy rainfall in Gujarat and Khavda area also, where our solar power is. As a result, the 200 megawatt, which should have happened 2 months back, is now happening in this quarter. So, that's one reason. Second, at one plant, one of our waste plants also got delayed by about 2 months. So I think other than that, there is no major delay. And as these projects start coming in, you will start seeing the same number which I promised, albeit with a delay of maybe 1 or 2 months here and there.
Okay. And for the even for the grinding expansion, the Shankareli for a cast.
Heavy capex project, so... by and large, we are on track. Some projects we are absolutely on track. Some projects slight delays. Some projects delays are more. But then, on the other hand, we are also doing M&A. So, what is important is with the Penna addition of 10 million
ongoing another 4 million with the Orient addition in future of 8.5. Straight away 4% market share uptake is there from M&A itself. So I think from the market perspective, it helps us.
And sir, broadly, when we said that out of 530 odd cost reduction 150 we have done, so if I broadly divide and do the maths of close to 120, 125 rupees per ton for next 3 years that we are looking at. So if somebody looks at from currently 780 odd EBITDA per ton, if it has to move up significantly what we were looking at close to 1400-1500 odd rupees, then are we assuming a significant price hike to coming in from now onwards?
You know, if you look at the price, current prices are one of the lowest ever. So I wouldn't make any future estimate on the current price. You'd have to make a much more analytical estimate, what is the right price and what should be the future price. Therefore, if you adjust for the normal price, and then if you look at our end state cost, which you're targeting about 3,700-800 rupees, I think then the numbers we're saying are very much achievable.
Okay. And for sir, ACC, is it possible for full year how much capex we are looking at?
How much?
For ACC, how much full year capex are we looking at?
Offhand, I don't think I have that number, but we can certainly give you.
I think maybe offline we can connect, but if I could just give you for ACC for the balance around the closer to 1,000 odd crore is what we are expecting to incur. And like some of them, for example, Salai Banwa and all are already under progress, and we should be achieving, which is part of my 6 million tons of GU, which has to be up and running before March 25. So yeah, ballpark within ACC, say 1,000 odd crores.
Okay, got it, sir, and all the best. Thank you, and happy Diwali.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Murarka from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So my question is around right of use assets and the cash flow statement. There is an entry called payment of principal portion of lease liabilities. So this number seems to be quite high for ACC. So could you just help understand what is this this item mean, and why is it so high for ACC?
Okay, while you are asking for ACC, I have the details for on a console basis. I will just try and attempt that, and then maybe separately we can speak about the ACC part. So the ROU asset, which is there, closer to 1,498 odd crores, which is as of September 24. And when we started, it was closer to, at say, 1,100 odd crores. Typically, right off the use of assets would include some of your long-term assets which are available to you for use. This would include the RMX assets, the office building, which you take it on a long-term lease, some of the guest houses which you have taken on long-term lease, and on top of it, some of the contracts on shipping or the rakes which you enter into long-term leases. So that is like basically right of use of assets. So if you, on an overall basis, for example, when I look at the overall, say, tangible block of assets, this is a smaller portion of the larger block, and I would say it is actually less than 3-4% of the overall, say, my block. And we haven't seen any significant additions per se in 6 months, except, as I said, around 500 odd crores, which is for the factor which I have mentioned. Please bear for me on the point that the numbers are not apple-to-apple comparison, given, again, my point that there are three companies which have got finalized in terms of their purchase price allocation, and the fourth company, which is Penna, which is provisional basis. Therefore, you will have to also put the lenses from that perspective. ACC, maybe offline I can address your question. I don't have the details right now, but this was on a consolidated basis for Ambuja. So there will be a glimpse of ACC also in the same manner.
Sure. No, I think thanks for the explanation. Because the ACC, it's like looking like a big number. I mean, it's almost 700 crores for the first half. So that was why I wanted to understand that. And also,
so I think all these intangible assets, basically, which is where ROU is also part of the same, and you will have this generally like in terms of any asset which is available on long-term usages, and I will give some examples of ships to rigs to office buildings to guest houses and likewise, right? So, yeah.
Sure, because I also noticed that in Ambuja Consol, that number is actually not too different from ACC. I mean, which means some leases have happened in Ambuja ACC as well then.
No, it's major hai basically because the RMX items gets, which are primarily for ACC, and therefore in Consol we'll find delta is marginal, therefore between ACC and Ambuja. And when you look at ACC, as I said to you, for RMX, especially for the mixers and the transit pumps, we have been little doing our RMX business aggressively now, and this is more on the outsourcing model, wherein you will take the transit mixers and the transit pumps on a long-term leases, which will become part of the ROUs.
Sure, sure. And just a second question on Penna sales volume. So is any sales being made in the Penna brand also, or it's all MSA with Ambuja ACC?
I will just answer on this point. So for the interim period, given that there have been ongoing contracts, and especially some of the government contracts where Penna was registered as an approved brand, we have continued over there. But otherwise, primarily we have used Ambuja and ACC. Having said that, obviously the brand remains with us, and we are free to use basically the requirements. But yes, for certain government contracts and some of the non-institutional, some of the institutional sales, we have used Penna brand.
And the MSA will be cost plus 10%, or because like how in Sangi it was like, is it similar MSA or will it be different?
No, in case of Penna, this is similar to what we have applied for Sangi, which is primarily cost plus 10% kind of formula. And I'm happy, by the way, that Sangi, as I told you, has come into EBITDA positive with this formula. Otherwise, it was going through negative EBITDA for many years. And likewise, even Penna has seen a very good, healthy utilization of capacities. When we acquired, it was less than 30% capacity utilization, and which I'm very happy to highlight that now we are almost at 65-70% capacity utilization for Penna.
Thanks for the elaborate reply.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take this as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So I hope most of the questions have been answered. If you have any unresolved queries, please contact us. Thank you, Sanjeev, and the Motilal Oswal Security Team for organizing this call. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Again, on behalf of the management team, wishing you all a very, very happy and prosperous Diwali. Be fit and healthy and enjoy the festivals. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Motilal Oswal Financial Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.